Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But before we get going, again, take the drama out of it. We've had two good days in preparation. Been really good to get Jaren Williams back on the field. He's, you know, basically taken a fair amount of reps, much more work than he did a week ago. But after watching the last couple of days, we'll still continue to start Nakosi Perry at quarterback. We just feel like Nakosi's development, plus where Jaren still is, and just getting back into the swing of things, Nakosi gives us the best chance to win. That being said, Jaren is going to prepare like he's going to play on Saturday, and there could be a role he plays. He knows that. But until we really get Jaren feeling like he's 100%, Nakosi's the answer.
Yeah, we're going to start Fitz this week. Kind of came to that conclusion really over the last couple of days. Decided we felt like that was the best thing for this team, and you know, give us an opportunity, the best opportunity for this team to go up into a tough environment and try to pull out a win. So, and we do that on a weekly basis. What's the best way? What's, you know, the best grouping, set of players, you know, offense, defense, kicking game, to help us try to, you know, win the game. And we felt that that was the case, you know, this week.
All right, and with all the quarterback talk, we say good morning because it never stops here in South Florida, man. Two coaches yesterday, same topic. You just heard it. Ryan Fitzpatrick will be the starter once again, and Nakosi Perry, who played well last week, will also be the starter with Georgia Tech at home this week and getting Jaren Williams ready to go and the Josh Rosen stuff. We can go back and forth. A lot of stuff to get to, and Brian Flores, yes, he did say that Josh Rosen, about a week ago, said Josh Rosen will be the starter the rest of the season. And then he goes, well, he didn't play very well. Ryan Fitzpatrick really got him going here in the fourth quarter. So we're going to go ahead and go with Ryan Fitzpatrick, and we'll go from there. And again, I think Brian Flores will learn. I think this is part of being, in my opinion, being a first-time head coach. This is one of the things that you learn the longer you're around it, and he will learn, and until they figure out this quarterback thing, and whoever they draft next year ends up hopefully being really good, and you don't have the topic. But so Josh Rosen, and the part that we talked about yesterday as well, we got a pretty good feel. Whatever we decide to do, we got a pretty good feel for what Josh can do, which means, you know, Josh is basically going to be a backup quarterback, man. We all read into that. And when he's had his chances and things have been good, you know, he's not playing well enough, plus all the stuff we don't see behind the scenes. So Josh Rosen, who will be on the team next year and could still play a lot of football here, and I do agree with everybody, it's a Josh Rosen fan, you got to have more around you to be successful. Absolutely agree with it. It'd be a lot easier to look good, and Josh's stats and Ryan Fitzpatrick's stats would be a lot better if everything was, you had better players around him, number one, things are more stabilized and everything else with this team, and we wouldn't be talking about it. So everybody going, hey, so what happened in a week? And you go, well, Ryan Fitzpatrick played well the last quarter. And on top of that, the team got juiced around him. It was obvious to everybody. Everybody played better, and he was getting the best out of everybody, and there seemed to be a little extra jump in everybody's step out there. So that's the first one. Of course, the second one is Nakosi Perry's a no-brainer. You got to go with the hot guy right now. And honestly, if Nakosi Perry keeps playing well, there's no way he's going to bench him. If Nakosi plays well, he'll come up with more stuff. Well, Jaren, you know, we told Jaren, be ready. And, you know, I mean, Nakosi's playing great. I would do the same thing. I wouldn't go back to the other guy. Go with Nakosi Perry and the guys rally around you. It's not always just about the quarterback. It's about watching the other guys and how they respond to you and getting a feel for, wow, they got a lot of confidence in this guy. They like him. They like him in the huddle. So there you have it for our two quarterback topics that I'm sure we'll be talking about a lot today, along with a lot of other stuff that's going on, including NFL meetings and Roger Goodell coming out yesterday, who every time he stands in front of everybody, it scares me to death on what he's going to say next. It really does.
I know it does. It upsets you.
Makes a lot of money, man. For what?
40 plus million a year.
To say what?
Whatever the owners want.
You know, competitive games, everything's great. And hey, listen, things are pretty good. I mean, look, I'm not making it sound like the NFL, which has got more problems than any other league built in because of the physical aspect of the game and what has happened in the past and stuff. And Hollywood always brings it up, and he's right. I mean, there's billions of dollars or hundreds of millions of dollars of lawsuits out there that he inherited. It wasn't him. It was actually the last commissioner who did it and kind of kept it. You know, a lot of people knew and didn't do anything about it. And yet he's the popular commissioner.
Right. Yeah, because he didn't have to deal with any of it. He left it on the next guy.
And then, of course, the relationship and how everything gets handled and all the off-the-field stuff. But, I mean, we live in a different time, man, for everybody. We're finding out. The NBA's going through it right now with China and how they handle that. And everybody's getting the fraud card put on them right now. You're a fraud.
Well, when your top dog, your lead guy, your face of the NBA puts himself in the middle of it and just kind of bites his...
Yeah, he just said stuff that...
Just said stupid...
He bleep. Said stupid yeah, stuff. Yeah,
that's the problem. Listen, the NFL and Roger Goodell, very happy they don't have to deal with that. Imagine if they had to deal... Imagine Roger Goodell front and center.
Yeah, this might be worse than what the NFL has to deal with. I mean, the NBA is looking at losing a lot of business.
Right, right. Well, imagine what Roger Goodell would have to do to try to put the fire out with the owners losing a possible couple billion dollars in revenue over the next couple years with TV deals and this and that. Yeah, Roger Goodell doesn't have to deal with that. Owners seem happy in the NFL right now, and if there's a problem, he just kind of jumps on their side. Adam yeah. Silver is
well, Joe's golden commissioner now has to deal with a real problem.
No. He's got his first big problem.
Huge problem.
Totally agree, and he's sitting there, and he's got LeBron and the guys beating him up in a meeting.
Right.
And then he's got to go deal on the other side. He's earning his money right now because he's over there dealing with the Chinese government, and the government's built right into their sports and built into everything.
Yep.
Anything you're doing is going through the government with a green light or a red light or we're not happy light. And so he earned some of his money. There is no question. But I would ask you this. What's really a bigger problem? The whole thing with the head and the CTE. And we've had guys commit suicide. I mean, you want to really break it down. Right. How many guys don't know what day it is, and it's happening on every team, and former players dealing with CTE and dementia and everything else there, or this Chinese problem.
Well, I think that's more of a domestic problem and stuff that Roger Goodell's got to deal with kind of on a daily basis with guys coming out and talking about this happened, or if a guy dies or if something happens. Yeah, the Chinese problem is a money problem. Chinese problem is a total full money problem and nothing else. It has nothing to do with anything else. These guys don't have to deal with it on a daily basis, but you're messing with guys' money, and there's a lot of owners' money there too because the revenue sharing. With the CTE stuff, the lawsuits and the money they're putting into education on everything, they're trying at least. The Chinese thing is just combustible. Yeah. It's a combustible problem.
But the problem for the guys my age in 50s and some guys in their 40s and guys, when you go to alumni functions and don't know who you are, and the wife
That's
brings
horrible.
Them,
right.
and their son brings them, and they're sitting there, and you got to introduce yourself to a guy you might have played with for a year, you
or
know,
longer.
So I mean, but I do get right now that the $4 billion
That's all it is.
Problem, and it's just so obvious. It's obvious to everybody. So that's why you should just shut up or tell the truth, but don't try the. Spiritually, I still don't get the spiritually stuff. But LeBron was just rattling stuff off. And by the way, the guys that are trying to defend the whole thing, they should all just come out and say, listen, man, it could mess up the business plan. I'd just rather say individual deals and for the NBA, both. And LeBron stands to make more money than anybody because right. he's the biggest star of stars. He's probably selling more shoes over there in China than anybody.
Right, of course.
So it's okay. probably a lot of people in this country are ripping him would do the same thing. But don't come out with that and blame Moore. He doesn't know what he's talking about. No, no. You know and decided not to talk about it, but you know the problem. I always love now all these NBA guys are all of a sudden, all these guys, well-educated guys, including some of the coaches, got stupid on all this stuff. No, they're not stupid. They know what's going on, and they know what the issues are. You don't think LeBron James knows what the issue is?
Money.
Just because he got a high school education? That guy's a smart guy. He's really smart business guy. He knows. And there's hundreds of millions of dollars for him. Billions of dollars for the NBA, especially the shoe contract guys. I don't know how many shoe contract guys there are in the league, but there's more than four or five.
Oh,
we
yeah.
just talk about yeah. the guys have the big shoes, but there's a lot of guys got shoe contracts and going, hey, man, not to mention the salary cap, which allows the max guys. And the top-end guys, the ones going to get hurt the most on this, the other ones, you know, still making most of the dough. So it is interesting, and both commissioners, and you're right, Adam Silver really dealing, but very well put by Hollywood. This is the first time Adam Silver's really had to do anything. Like, kicking an owner out was, like, really easy.
Right,
because everybody supported it.
That's it.
And you had a guy that came in and paid a ridiculous amount of money. If you really look at Adam's first move, and they're going, way to go, Adam, way to knock this guy out. Well, he had total support from the other owners, number one. And number two, they had a guy come in, so one of the wealthiest human beings in the world, overpaid on the team, which upped the value of everybody else's NBA team.
Everybody got
including
paid.
Mickey.
Right.
So that was a no-brainer. Like, way to go, Adam Silver. Adam Silver's different than the rest. I'm like, hey, man, that was easy. That was easy. You know, that was an easy one. Hey, Adam, now you got your work cut out for the first time.
Right.
Because NBA's bigger in China, which, by the way, is still mind-boggling. We think NBA's pretty big here.
So big.
And they're
China.
Going, no, it's a lot bigger in China.
A lot
than here.
Bigger.
Not even close.
Right.
So,
a lot of money to be lost, and it's all going to be on Adam Silver if something happens.
Look, I would still say the future of the NBA is in really good shape with his popularity. And the fact is, like soccer, the game's played all over the world. All over the world. No matter what language, everybody's picking up a basketball and can play one on one. 2-on-2, 3-on-3, and 5-on-5, right? So, anyway, it will be interesting. And of course, right now, the commissioner, Roger Goodell, trying to get a deal worked out and hit with the 17 games yesterday, which looks like that's going to get done. I don't know what they're going to have to give the players something besides just money.
What's the concession, right? What's the concession?
But there's some other things to work on and everything else. Anyway, we got to go to a quick break here. We got a lot of stuff to get to. By the way, so we had Jim Nagy on yesterday late in the show for you early birds. He was really good, especially if you know he's senior director. He's a Senior Bowl director. And so he's out and he scouts and he works for ESPN. So he's following all these quarterbacks, and so he's evaluated a lot of these guys, and he talked, and he was great about the quarterbacks coming out. We're going to talk to him about that coming up next, so don't go away because you're going to want to hear about as good as we've had, whether you agree with it or not, but here's a guy that's got he and his staff going out evaluating people for their game and is really, really good. So he's coming up next. I think you're really going to like what he has to say about this whole quarterback class. We'll have that for you when we come back.
Man, I started yelling.
I know.
Is it Jim Nagy? I went, man, all right.
One of your favorites, one of our favorites, executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl and ESPN analyst Jim Nagy, going to join us right now on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Jim, I want to tell you what we're talking about in the commercial break, how we're going to get up there, what we're doing, and all of our stuff to get us ready for those hopeful two broadcasts that we do before your Senior Bowl on Saturday.
Awesome, guys. Awesome. Appreciate you having me on again this morning.
Well, listen, we got a lot. You're going to be spending a lot of time with our coaching staff in January with the Miami Dolphin coaching staff, so we thought we'd come up and just add on to it. Jim, a lot of stuff to talk about, and when you're where the Miami Dolphins are right now, we've already started our verbal mock drafts of trying to figure out who might be on the list, and we love your stuff. And so I would ask you, you feel any differently with Tua as the top quarterback, or could that still change by the end of the college football season?
I really do think it could change, and not that Tua's done anything to hurt himself. I'll be back up in Tuscaloosa this weekend to see him again. I think this will be the fourth Bama game I've been to this fall. It just kind of schedules falling that way. But was at LSU last weekend for the Florida game.
And
it's impossible to walk away watching Joe Burrow and not be kind of blown away by just the progress that he's made. So, you know, coming into the year, he was probably third, fourth round guy that, you know, teams were looking at as a, you know, at minimum a good backup that, you know, if you really hit on him, he could become a win-with starter, guy if you're good around him, you could win with. And he's really taking his game to a different level in terms, you know, really accuracy is what stands out the most. That's the biggest difference right now. But I think Joe's going to play himself into that top 10 conversation when it's all said and done. So I would, you know, that's going to be the one to keep an eye on is how high Joe Burrow climbs.
We said the same thing. We watched that game, and I go, this Joe Burrow thing. And, I mean, he's putting on the back shoulder. He's just crossing routes. He's making it nice, easy catches for his guys. And he can run a little bit, too, which – I think everybody really likes. But, Jim, listen, I know there's a lot of guys, and we've been having a lot of guys on, and everybody's got their favorite quarterback. The guy that's interesting, and he's probably got the least amount of talent of any of these guys, is Love out of Utah State. Jim, have you had a chance to spend any time looking at him?
I wouldn't say he's got the least amount of talent, guys. I think he's got a lot of talent. I looked at him over the summer. He's a really natural thrower. You know, I haven't had a chance to study any 19 stuff yet. Just looking at the numbers, it looks like it could be a little, you know, it could be a little disappointing if you're expecting him to take that jump. But his sophomore tape, if you're projecting that sophomore tape out, he looked like an NFL starting quarterback. So we'll see where he's at. I haven't talked to anyone out in Logan, Utah about where his head's at of coming out or staying. But he is really talented. I mean, he throws it more naturally than probably anyone in this draft when you're just looking at motion.
Really? Wow.
And fluidity. Yeah, he's really got a lot of arm talent. He was fun to watch at the Manning camp this summer. So, like I said, you know, and again, he's not playing with the same people that Joe Burrow and Tua.
Yeah, Jim, that's
know?
What I was trying to say about talent around him. I didn't mean his talent. I was talking about the talent he's playing with. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, that plays a factor. So, I mean, he's going to be a little more difficult of an evaluation. But, no, Jordan, certainly from a talent standpoint, you know, physical tools, he's going to be in that discussion as well. I think when we get to April, it's going to be, you know, in the ESPN and all the networks, they like to talk about quarterbacks ad nauseum, and it's going to be Joe Burrow, Tua, Justin Herbert, and Jordan Love, I think, will be the four guys when it's all said and done if Jordan comes out.
We don't get to see Herbert much, or people don't talk about him. I can tell our fan base doesn't have a big love affair with him. Talk about him and how good he is and the talent he's playing with right now.
Well, he's a big strapping guy. He's got your prototype size for the position, and he's also a good athlete. I mean, he's not one of these. You know, like when Ben Roethlisberger came out of Miami of Ohio, I scouted him, and you know, Ben was such a big dude, and you know, now Ben's in his getting to be his mid to late 30s. He's not moving like he used to, but when he came out of college, Ben was a really good athlete. You know, he's a great high school hoops player. Justin Herbert, you're going to see the body. He looks almost like a tight end. He's a thick, big, thick kid, but he can really move and get outside the pocket, and he's got a powerful, powerful arm. So that's what, you know, he can really drive the football down the field. That's what the NFL teams are going to love. I mean, he just makes some throws that not a lot of guys can make. Now, inconsistency is an issue, but the teams that are going to really be buying into Justin, just being at the Manning camp around him, listening to a lot of the coaches down there too, and you see it on tape, there's some rawness to him. Like, he's got everything that you want, and there's still a big upside there. You know, they feel like from just a coaching perspective, I know a lot of quarterback coaches in the league are going to feel like they can take Justin to another level. So there's still a pretty high ceiling out in front of Justin right now. And, you know, we don't get to see him a lot here on the, you know, the East Coast because they're playing so late. But no, he's going to be, when it's all said and done, he's going to be in that mix in April as well.
It's amazing because in the top, the batch of the quarterbacks,
Before the season started, Jake Fromm's name came up every time you talked about who could be the top five quarterback. Has he dropped? Has something happened with him this season where some scouts or people are watching and just said he's just not who we thought he was?
No, I think that, unfortunately, I think the media was way too high on Jake to start with. And I say that in all due respect to Jake. He's one of my favorite. He's one of my favorite guys. And he trains with a guy here in Mobile, Alabama, David Morris, who trained Gardner Minshew and Daniel Jones. And so Jake's been coming down here. And just from like a person standpoint, like just being a guy's guy and a real dude, I love what Jake brings to the table. He's, you know, he doesn't have physically, he doesn't have what a lot of these other guys have. So I think there is a little ceiling from a tools perspective, but what Jake does have is from the neck up. To me, which is maybe the most important thing, he can process information. He's really, really, he's got a really quick brain. So that's what the teams are going to like. I think that Jake, when he gets around, and Joe Burrow falls into this category as well, the more NFL teams are around guys like Joe Burrow and Jake Fromm, the more they're going to buy into him. So I do think that Jake was pushed up there a little bit in the media from just a pure talent ceiling standpoint. I don't think he's done anything to hurt himself. I just think that was, you know, kind of a narrative out there over the summer and the offseason in the media that probably shouldn't have been there.
Jim, help me out a little bit overall on this quarterback class, the five or six guys everybody's talking about. Do you like this group compared to the Baker Mayfield class?
Yeah, because it was Baker and Josh Allen. Those were the two big guys up there, you know, and Darnold. And Rosen was in that group. Yeah, I do. I think that that four we talked about, I do think it'll be interesting to see what Jake Fromm does. Jake's going to be in that mix because he's a starting NFL quarterback. It'll be interesting if he can climb up into those top four. But I think those top four are all potential franchise quarterbacks. And when I use that term, it goes back to my time in the NFL. You know, we always considered franchise guys as you're winning because of that guy. You're competing. You're in the playoffs every year and competing for championships really because of what that guy brings to the table and how he can lift your organization. And I used the term win with quarterback earlier, and there's a lot of those now. There's a lot of win guys that are, if you're good enough around him, there was a year I was in Kansas City and Matt Castle threw 27 touchdowns and 10 picks, and we went to the playoffs that year and he went to the Pro Bowl, and you know we're handing the ball off to Jamal Charles, and we won games with him. But you know Matt wasn't a franchise quarterback. You know he was a starting quarterback, but he wasn't a franchise guy. So I do think those four guys that we talked about have chances to get up into that franchise type conversation.
That's strong right there, hey, Jim. I got to put you on the spot a little bit. I mean, we all get crushes on certain guys. I'm on a little bit of a Joe Burrow thing myself right now. I just like all the throws he's made in the two big games he's played in this year. What about for you right now if somebody said, hey, Jim, come on, man. You got to let us know who you want right now of this group. Who would you take early? I know it's early, but who would you take of the four?
It would be Joe Burrow because and it's nothing. This is I'm not trying to get caught up in what I just saw this past week, and it's really kind of it's been a build. So met him at the Manning camp over the summer, like I talked about, some again at the SEC media days, was down on the field and watched him during pregame. And I just love how the kid's wired. I think that it's hard to find guys like Joe Burrow nowadays. I think the quarterback position has become a little bit of a rich kid's position, because they're all getting trained and they're all, you know, going off to these elite 11s and whatnot. Joe's a throwback. Joe's dad's a college football coach. He's a guy's guy. He's got a lot of qualities that I think will bring a locker room together. And those things are more important now than they've ever been in the NFL because of the CBA that was put in place years ago. You know, you lose these guys the entire offseason if you're an NFL organization. And the quarterback's the guy that's got to keep that thing together. So if the players don't respond to the quarterback, he's the one that's coordinating all the offseason throwing sessions, and you got to have that guy. And to watch Burrow at that game the other night and how teammates respond to him and how the staff responds to him, I posted something on Twitter the other night from the game. Like, he's got the it factor. And people can, you know, snicker if they want, but, that stuff matters. You know, like, it really does matter. If you've been around a football team and you've, you know, tried to build a club, I mean,
that you need to have those things at that position. So, you know, we talked about Joe's accuracy. It's not just the dink and dunk stuff. You know, you chart these guys, and so many college quarterbacks today don't throw the ball over 10 yards. I mean, Joe's leading the country right now on throws, you know, downfield throws as well. So he's, you know, he's getting really hot, and it's going to be interesting to see where it goes. But to me, I'm buying into him more, even more as the person is what I'm seeing on the field and on tape.
That's important, man.
Wow.
We're going through that a little bit down here right now without getting into the whole thing, but that stuff's all important. And I'm with you. I want to see a Marino makeup a little bit, and a guy that was home throwing and not going to special camps and going on the beach in L.A. and throwing and working on.
Hey, listen, everyone's got their own doing it.
No, I agree.
Well, Jim, I got to ask you this because, you know, the Fromm situation where, you know, basically maybe it was media hype going into it, and you're probably 100% accurate on that. I guess going in the opposite direction of that would be Jalen Hurts, right? Because he transferred. We thought he'd be okay there. We didn't know what was going to happen, and all of a sudden everyone that touches Lincoln Riley's offense turns into someone that's, you know, up there in the Heisman voting. It's unbelievable what's going on there. We knew he was a good quarterback. We saw him in Alabama, but he's really showing off a lot more now in Lincoln Riley's offense there. What do you think about Jalen? Has he possibly moved himself into being maybe a first-round pick also?
First round is really too steep right now for me to talk in that range. I mean, I took this job at the Senior Bowl in June of 18. Jalen was at Alabama at the time. Mobile, Alabama is a huge Roll Tide city. So whenever I was around town or had to go speak at places, people would ask about Jalen. And, you know, I wasn't shy about it. If Jalen was coming to the Senior Bowl a couple years ago, it was going to be as a running back. His passing skill set was that far behind from in terms of anticipation and accuracy. Now he's a, you know, he's built like a running back. He's 220 pounds. We timed him at the pro day up at Alabama a couple springs ago when he was in the low 4.6s. So he runs like an NFL running back. But it's been remarkable to see where he's taken himself. And I give some credit to Dan Enos, who's the offensive coordinator down there in your backyard now in Coral Gables. And I give Jalen a ton of credit. He's really taking the next step as a quarterback, and you saw it in a small sample size last year at Alabama when he came in off the bench and you know, led them to that win over Georgia in the SEC championship game. But it was such a small sample size, it was hard to be truly convicted, you know, about him playing quarterback at the next level. So to see what he's done this first, you know, 6 weeks of the football season has been a lot of fun. We had a scout at their game last week. He came away really impressed. So I think Jalen's a draftable quarterback now, but that's a big jump from going from a guy that, and it wasn't just us. It was, you know, guys in the league. I mean, everyone kind of had him pegged as a future running back. And so to go from that position all the way to the first round as a quarterback, that's a significant leap. That's a stretch right now, but he's definitely a draftable quarterback.
All right, and then a little closer to home for you, have you targeted which quarterbacks you're looking at, or is it still too early that you like to have for your Senior Bowl?
No, a lot of the guys we've already talked about.
Okay.
You know, we brought eight to the game last year. Seven of them got drafted. Daniel Jones and Minshew are both starting now.
That's crazy. Wow. What great stories.
And then you had Jarrett Stidham, the backup in New England. He looked great in the preseason. Ryan Finley's knocking on the door in Cincinnati. Drew Locke's been hurt, but I think he's the heir apparent in Denver. So it was a really good group. There's probably not the depth of this class. I think that we'd struggle to maybe even – we have to bring six because you have to have enough, you know, you can't have guys wear off their arms during the week. So we're going to have to get six, and it might be a struggle to get to six. Right now there's, you know, really there's four that we really like, and the fifth and sixth spots are up for grabs.
Do you get no very often from those guys going, no, I'm too high a pick. I don't need your game. I've already heard from my agent. Do you get that at all? Not too much.
Last year was my first go around. So, we really overall, we had six seniors decline their invites, which was better than it had been in the past. I think it gotten to the point where, you know, that a lot of agents were talking kids out of coming down because of, you know, fear of injury or whatever. I don't know, whatever they fill their brains with. But quarterback position's been different. We've had four top 10 guys in the last 3 years. So, I think we're pretty good at the quarterback spot in terms of getting these guys to commit. And, you know, last year's group really turned the corner where, you know, we had a big jump from we were hovering like 3, 4, 3 for first-round picks. Last year we had 10. So I think that, wow. You know, the things we're doing on social media to engage these guys, and good. We had 40 players go in the first three rounds. So, like I tell the agents, you know, if you've got a guy that's unequivocally the number one player at his position, I won't even invite him. You know, like I get it. If he has nothing to gain by being here, but if you're one of these, like, for instance, if you're a receiver in this draft, if you're a senior receiver, why wouldn't you come when everyone's talking about T. Higgins and CeeDee Lamb is in Jerry Jeudy as the number one receivers? Why wouldn't you come down here and try to beat those guys out? And, you know, just show the NFL how competitive you are. So,
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, again, we really optimistic about this year. We really amped up our recruiting in the last year, and I think seeing last year's success, hopefully these players have bought into that.
40 in the first three rounds. Dolphins have 7 picks in the first three rounds. We'll take that.
Yeah.
We're going to get some guys out of your game. There is no question.
That's right.
Plus, the coach is there coaching them all.
Right,
I mean,
that's right.
24 guys running around like, coach him up. Tell him what we're doing over there. Yep. Jim, thank you, buddy. Really appreciate it. I got to tell you, man, that was A-plus stuff today.
Right.
Very good. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, guys, have a great day.
That is awesome. Jim Nagy is awesome. That interview yesterday was awesome. I mean, we're getting great, great text messages in. Just the way he breaks things down, the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl does a lot of scouting during the year, so we get great information from him. All right, we'll come back. We'll wrap up the 6 o'clock hour right after this.
All right, welcome back, and good morning, everybody. I want to always thank Jim for coming on. He's really, really fun to listen to. Really does his homework.
He knows his stuff, that's it.
And he's, you know, getting ready for the Senior Bowl, and he wants to have the best players, and he evaluates them to get the best players there, and including the quarterback. So, anyway, we hope you enjoyed that, since the Miami Dolphins are going to be in the – I mean, it's pretty clear, you know. I mean, we don't have – well, maybe – no. It's real clear to me that one of those picks is going to be a quarterback right there at the top of the first round. We got all kinds of stuff going. We were just talking during the break. It's always funny, like, what you're talking about during the break when you're not doing this. And we were talking about Antonio Brown, who is still in denial that he's ever done anything wrong. It's incredible. I'm still waiting for something on social media or a comment. We know he wants to come back and free AB and whatever else he's doing.
I like his tweet from 2 days ago. It says, retweet if your fantasy team misses me. Yeah.
Does he think that's going to get him back because everybody took him?
I doubt that.
Yeah. High in the first round as a first-round pick in fantasy football. It's just I'm always amazed after everything you've been through, which, by the way, you've done almost all of it to yourself, everything to yourself. I don't know all the facts and whether I don't know if the Patriots knew or not for sure about everything, you know, that will be dealt with in court. But the other stuff, like the Raiders stuff, so self-inflicted. And I just love he's working out. I'm getting tired about how great of workouts he has and stuff. And like the other thing, you know, with this guy, that's incredible. Now he's going to high schools. He says he's going to high schools now, talking to high schools. Like, what's your message to high schools? Like, I've really screwed up. I've worked my ass off to get where I am as a six-round pick that a lot of people didn't want.
And look at me now.
To make myself into this, and now I've turned back into an ass clown. Like, I don't know. What do you say to those? If you don't give that message, you got to work, but I've made a lot of mistakes. If that's not part of the message that you made mistakes and you're trying to flip them around right now, then you're messy about your hard work and don't let people drag you down. And ain't nobody trying to drag you down. You drag yourself down. Ain't nobody trying to drag you down. And a lot of people love to have you if you were friggin' normal.
Well, the whole point is it's not his football that is keeping him out of football. It's not his football skills that don't have him on the football field. We know plenty of guys, and we've seen it over the years, where a guy just age kind of catches up with him. He's not the same guy he was. AB goes out there, and he played one game this year and looked pretty good. It's the sexual assault allegation. It's the intimidating text messages to another victim. That's what's keeping him out of the NFL right now, well, and not his play.
That is, but to start with, Zach, like not showing up to practice.
Right. It's
nobody knows
stuff.
Where you are. Drew Rosenhaus got to call the team and say, well, he's upset about his helmet, so he left and didn't say anything. And I mean, you can't just disappear, man. There are certain rules. By the way, you know, sports don't have that many rules. Like compared to companies, like compared to here where we get stuff, don't do this, don't do that, don't say. They don't get that stuff. There's not that many rules in sports.
Show up on time.
Show up on time. Be on time for meetings. Be on time for practice. Stay out of trouble. Stay out of legal trouble.
Right.
You know, and let's
play
go.
On Sunday or Thursday or Monday.
And be productive.
Yeah,
and the more productive you are and the better you are, the more money you're going to make, as long as you can. Every sport, pretty much that way. And by the way, if you're a little out there, you're okay. As long as you play within the rules, you can go to parties in Vegas and dance all night. You know, nobody cares.
We've seen it.
And, you know, it's just some of this other stuff is a little over the top. So anyway, that's what we were talking about during the break. We're done with that, and we got a lot of other stuff. By the way, we talked yesterday, and it's so true. This quarterback class, speaking of just having Jim on, we're looking at a lot of teams about ready to give up on quarterbacks that they thought were going to be frontline quarterbacks that have Ryan Tannehill them. I'm not saying – some of them have made the playoffs. Like Andy Dalton's been in the playoffs. There is no question in my mind Cincinnati's ready to move on.
Oh, not even a question. Come on.
Not even a question. Great guy. You know, all the work he does, the family work in his community. Great, great, great. They need to win games. He's done. I'm going to give you two other ones. I really believe that Jameis Winston in Tampa Bay, there for a while. He's got him, then he turns it over six times. If he has a roller coaster season the rest of the way. There's no way, because it's time to give him the big contract. Like Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston, it's now time. They've been in the league. You've got the Ryan Tannehill tease from both of them. You've got to make up your mind. I think they've made up their mind. Now, they're going to keep working with him and try to win as many games and, you know, and maybe get to the playoffs if they can or whatever else. But there's no way. With anybody out there in their right mind, that's seen the good and the bad of all of them. They've had their good game, like Tannehill. He's had his great games, and then he's had games where you're like, what's he doing? It's like he's never been in the pocket before, right? Oh, where did that throw come from? So there's a bunch of those guys. And Mariota and Tannehill, Tannehill's going to take over, got a chance to be the starting quarterback. Who knows what he can do? We were talking early this morning about Tannehill. What do you think he'll do? Well, you know, he's got a pretty good team around him, but he's going to have some really good games. You're going to look at that. And then right when you start buying in on Tannehill.
Three interceptions.
And
blows a game.
Get stripped in the pocket, right. Not see a guy come, and you're going, oh, he did again. I'm not saying they're not NFL quarterbacks. They're all NFL quarterbacks. You love to have them. Can win some games. They can have big games. But there's no way you can give Winston, Tannehill, Mariota, Dalton, guys like that. You want to put anybody else in there? Guys that have been around now for a while. These aren't two or three, hey, let's give them another year and see. Or in the case what the Dolphins did with Tannehill, let's give them three more years. Like those guys, all going to be in the league a long time. Don't get me wrong. Going to play into their mid to late 30s. I believe that. But they're not frontline guys that can to get you there. And so these teams are going to get together, front offices with coaching staffs, owners, presidents, and go, we believe, and Jim thinks there's four or five guys got a chance to be franchise quarterbacks in this draft. Franchise quarterbacks at some point. So you got to evaluate, and there's going to be some teams moving on, and all of a sudden when you thought it at the way the season started, wow, I remember saying, man, everybody's getting it. It looks like everybody's got their quarterback. Man, everybody's – and now you're looking going, no, there's a lot of bad numbers out there.
Of course. Right now, Miami and Cincinnati are in the nightclub together, the quarterback nightclub. And I think that Denver, Tampa Bay, and Tennessee are waiting in line. They're ready to come into the club as well. And then I think there's three other teams, possibly, that are walking around the corner to get in line also. And I think that's the Chargers, Oakland, and Washington, possibly.
Well, you got an older quarterback.
Right.
You have to make a decision there. At some point, you got to move on. You almost wonder about Belichick looking for a backup.
Sure.
There's a guy who ain't going to get caught whenever Brady decides to do it. So you start looking, and you're going – that list of teams –
I thought it was two. It could be possibly eight by the end of the year.
Yeah. And so –
you were right. You called it beginning of the season when I told you there's only two or three that I think are going to be in the quarterback race at the end of the year. You said there's going to be more by the end of the season, and you were right because I think there might be eight teams looking for a first or second-round quarterback come April.
All these teams are having the same thing the Dolphins have done the last two, three, 4 years, front offices and coaches. We got to move on from Tannehill.
Correct.
No, I want to keep him. And now we have a former coach denying that he ever said that. That was not the case. So who knows? But somehow, Tannehill got other chances, and then he played well, and then, you know, we heard about coaching quarterback record together, which got to be one of the oldest lines of all time.
Ever.
But just this thing, all of a sudden, you know what this all means? All those quarterbacks are going to get pushed up in this NFL draft.
You're 100% right.
All these guys that we don't know that much about. Like, I don't know that much about the Washington quarterback. I'm going to watch him more. They got one of the big games this week, so you can watch him more. But, yeah, I just think we're going to end up having another draft with five quarterbacks, maybe six, drafting the first 15 picks.
Right. You're right.
Well, I mean, I may not be right, but.
No, I think you are.
Well, I just think there's a lot of teams just going, man, we got to find that franchise quarterback. We got to find that franchise quarterback. Kind of like we got to go to break right now, man, because we got a lot more stuff to get to here in the 7 o'clock hour. Right now, though.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.